welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
This week, Holy Week, we were talking about earlier. I've got about 5 minutes before we get into the film, if that, all right? This week, Holy Week, one of the interesting things that happened in this week was that after Jesus had died, two wealthy men, Nicodemus and Joseph, not Joseph as in Jesus' dad, but another Joseph, Joseph of Arimathea, they went and asked Pilate for the body. This was very significant because they were putting at risk their whole reputation. Nicodemus certainly was part of the Jewish ruling council, and so to be associated with someone who had just been put to death in this way was risky to him. And it's interesting, well, what on earth possessed this man with so much status and power and part of it to go and get the body and then put it in a tomb, a rich man's tomb, because they needed to put it somewhere safe for the night, because the next day was the Passover, when in the Jewish faith you shouldn't be doing things with dead bodies and you should be taking a day of rest. So they put in the tomb, and of course it was sealed with the stone. And interesting as well, because it was always prophesied that the Messiah would be laid in a rich man's tomb, which was kind of odd, because the passages in, we might even look at it later, we'll see if we get time, talks of him associating with the poor and the humble and the sick and everything else. And then suddenly, glaringly really, it's in a passage written by the Old Testament prophet called Isaiah, chapter 53, it says he'll be laid in the tomb with rich men. And it's kind of jars, unless you're just so used to it because you've heard it so much. Why is this, there is the association with everybody who's suffering and poor, and the idea that he would come as a servant, and suddenly he's laid in a rich man's tomb? It's sort of, that was odd. It must have been odd in the prophecy before it happened. You sort of think, well, why is he going to be, you know, with everything else that was spoken over him? But of course, as it happens, he was put in a rich man's tomb, but it was kind of a temporary parking spot until they could sort it properly. In fact, it was even more temporary than they thought, because of course he broke out of it by himself. But that's a story for next week. So this story, that was on Good Friday, and it comes back from this Nicodemus chap, from a story that happens earlier that's written in the book of John. John wrote this all down. And it says that in the middle of the night, this guy Nicodemus sneaks out, because he doesn't want anybody to spot that he's going to Jesus, sneaks out to see Jesus. And he says, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the miracles and the signs that you were doing if God were not with him." And it says that in reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." Which was really completely from the left field. That wasn't what Nicodemus was talking about. He says, "You're a good teacher." And then Jesus says, "Well, you need to be born again." Now, wherever you are in the world, most people have heard of this expression now. You know, we get born-again atheists even. You know, it's just an expression to say, start again. I'm a born-again Coca-Cola drinker, you know, or whatever it is. I'm a born-again caffeine drinker. Or I'm a born-again fat milk drinker because I, you know, it's just an expression. But this use of it here was the first time. And he didn't understand. If you read it, this highly educated guy is missing it so much. He says, "Well, I've got to go back into my mother's womb." And Jesus begins to explain. Again, most of that's a story for another time. But it's interesting that this is the first use of born again. And Nicodemus really doesn't understand it. But something significant happens, because sometime later, he's there getting the body of Jesus and putting him in the tomb. And him and Joseph wrap all the body up and put all the spices. You know, when you hear about the grave clothes were there neatly folded, Joseph and Nicodemus were the very ones that actually put the grave clothes on him, which was an incredible honour if you think about it. But I'm not supposed to be teaching this morning, and I'm already am. But where I want to go to is, so Nicodemus says, "What, I've got to go back into my mum and be born again?" But he's totally missed it. And Jesus starts to explain. He says, even says at one point, he says, "You're Israel's teacher and you don't understand these basic things." So he uses an Old Testament story to explain a little bit more about what he's about, because Nicodemus would have known the Old Testament story really, really well. And he refers to a story in the days of Moses. And in the days of Moses, there was a time when they were being plagued with snakes that were biting people and killing them. And this incredibly odd solution comes from God, or it sounds odd when you first say it, where he said, hold up a pole with a bronze snake on it in the center of the camp, and all those who look to the bronze pole will not die from the poison. In other words, they'll be miraculously healed. Well, it was a strange thing to do, but it was prophetic of what was to come. And also, it meant that people had to do something that was a little odd, but that said, I'm going to trust God. God does that a lot to us. You do something that's a little odd because it's the only way you can know you trust him. All right? And so the bronze pole was very much a strange thing to put up in the middle of the camp saying, if you look at this, you'll be saved. And so Jesus refers to this and says, well, in the same way that Moses had to hold up a pole with a snake on it in the middle of the camp, it was raised up above the people for them to look to. He explains to Nicodemus, and remember, this is a long time before, you know, this is quite some time before he's actually going to be crucified, so it shows how much Jesus knew what was going to happen. And he says, in the same way that that was lifted up, the Son of Man, which is how he always referred to himself, the Son of Man will also be lifted up in a similar way. In other words, in a way that people can look to him and be saved. All right? And that's why, the reason I'm telling you all this, because I was just going to read the verse, and I thought sometimes it's good to know the context of where it comes from. The most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. So many football matches, rugby matches, and sports events, you see somebody's got John 3:16 at the side. This is the context of it. He's actually been explaining to Nicodemus what it means to be born again. And in many translations, if you know it, it starts off, for God so loved the world. It's not a quaint way of saying it. It's saying for, as in relating back to what Jesus has just said. So he's just said, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. In other words, be cured of the poison, which is what sin is in our lives. It's a poison that destroys people's lives. And we end up doing things we don't want to do. The things that we want to do, we end up not doing. You know, it's a poison that takes us away from the beauty that God actually intended for us. And so he says, so I'm going to be lifted up, just like the snake was. Obviously, he was lifted up on the cross. And he says, the reason that this is going to happen, and many, many people struggle with this, and this is why I think this film will be good for us today. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's where it comes from. It comes from the context of Jesus explaining what it means to be born again. Why do you need to be born again? Because God loves you so much that he sent his Son that you could live with him for eternity. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen? That's all I'm going to read for now. So this film is a film about a father and a son. And as I said, it's based on a true story. It's just changed locations. A man called John Griffith, who was a railroad bridge operator in Mississippi. And his son was 8 years old, just as the boy is in this film. And as we watch it, remember John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.